Hello, my name is Robert Giffen, Chicago Times college student at Chicago Studies Program from El Cerro. I'm interviewing
Hobie Reader.
And Hobie, you understand this is being recorded?
Yes, I do.
Smithsonian. Mm-hmm. When and where were you born?
1956, La Mesa, California, which is in San Diego County. Which makes me 54.
And where did you grow up and go to school?
San Diego.
And how were your parents involved with the El Cerro program?
My father actually started with my grandfather going to the farms and selling to the braceros directly from the van. My father did that as his only form of business to support us, and we were very well off, selling mostly electronics and clothing.
Where was your family business located in this sense?
San Diego County, the farms were mostly far out in the area that's almost Imperial County. Some were Imperial County, actually, but San Diego County in the outlying areas.
And how long had your family been doing selling to the Braceros?
My father started in 1954-ish. My grandfather 2 years earlier.
And how did they start selling to the Braceros?
My grandfather was looking for a niche to continue retail. He was a new immigrant and had tried other locations.
And where was your grandfather from?
Romania, and had escaped World War II. The rest of his family was killed in the camps. So he was alone in this country and made a friend who knew of the program and was heading over here. So they just drove to San Diego County and started selling.
That's... Besides the clothing and... Radios,
mostly radios, but you know, small items, recorders like little tape recorders and things like, you know, household items like blenders, toaster ovens, those kinds of things.
And were they buying these items for themselves and also for their wives and girlfriends back
no,
in Mexico?
No, only for themselves.
Did you have any contact with the ranchers themselves that
yes.
were dealing with the Braceros?
They were all Japanese. All, save one. And they were Jewish people we knew. Every single ranch was owned by Japanese people. And they treated the Braceros very well.
Some of the questions that I was going to ask, you kind of combined them into
okay.
one. So, did you ever go to the Braceros Processing Center?
No.
Reception?
No, only to the people who had already started working.
Oh, okay. And were you able to see inside their homes or where they lived?
The outside, not the inside. Got the general idea. They were not shanty shacks. They were more like dormitory style, and not with floors and their own kitchens. They were well treated.
Did your grandfather or father ever end up employing a former Braceros?
Yes. And I knew them, and actually my nanny was related to one.
Oh, okay. So you did not have any contact with, like, government officials that were involved in the program?
None. Some with the ranchers, because we got permission, just to be polite, to sell. And I tagged along with that. I was a kid, but I would tag along. And so we would talk to the owners or the manager. It was mostly owners, families, and they lived there. We would get permission from them. And they got nothing in return, but it kept them from having to constantly hire new people, because there was more stability. Because they had what they needed, they didn't need to leave as often.
So, did these personas, were they able to go into town also to shop? Or?
Not easily.
Not easily?
They occasionally would get a van, or it was very unusual for them to leave. They would sometimes leave in groups and, you know, go home for a while and come back, but they didn't always come back. That's why I think that was frowned upon.
Do you know anything about their meals?
They prepared their own meals, and that's why they had their kitchen, and they did not have to pay for their food. They were given food. It wasn't one of those things where the food was equal to the pay. They got their food.
Do you know anything about if one of the personas got Cape Ill or had an accident?
I don't know anything about. We never heard about it. Sometimes one would be sick and would disappear, and, you know, we would question that. And they were like family. They were like little clusters. So we would hear about, you know, Jose was sick, but I don't know about injuries or anything large.
So these men were kind of kept out in isolation?
Yes, absolutely. And they didn't go from farm to farm, because they were the owners competed with each other.
Do you know what the minimum hourly wage was?
I have no idea. I know that they got paid less than the Americans, so to speak. And they did not work side to side with non-Mexicans, non-braceros. It was all braceros.
Wow, you're answering my questions before I... You're doing a good job. Did you see any visible signs of, like, the union involvement or trying to get involved?
Absolutely not. I don't think it was culturally relevant for them.
From your observation, what type of work do you think the personas performed on the farm besides...
They picked tomatoes.
Just picked tomatoes?
All of them.
Did they drive any of the farm equipment?
No.
Or just all strictly
picked tomatoes.
And pack the tomatoes and...
Right, and from then it became a gringo, American situation. The big trucks would come and load I think they were crates at the time. And from then on, I didn't know what happened. But the braceros planted, cared for, and picked.
Really just answering... It's like six questions in that category.
Well, it seems to be one speech.
Right.
They were male, all of them.
Okay.
I never saw a female. Maybe they had them inside.
Yeah, I think basically it was a male-dominated Masara program. On your the contact with them, would it be you spend like a day with them, say, selling, or is it you're there just for a couple hours?
It would be a trip to a number of farms in a little area. And it depended on the amount of business and whether they had just been paid, but a couple of hours at each farm. And on usually Friday and Saturday, I didn't go with my dad because it was an overnight thing. And he cashed checks. They were paid by check, and they had no checking accounts, which we saw as a ridiculous thing, but that's what made it for my dad. He cashed their checks, charged them a percentage, and gave them credit.
And were they good about repaying on their...
Excellent.
Credit? Excellent. And what type of clothing were they purchasing? Do you remember? Was it
Levi's? Dickies, flannel shirts, T-shirts, jackets. My dad would see what they wanted and have that. They would ask him for a certain thing that he wasn't carrying, and if he got asked a number of times, he would locate it and have it for them. And they appreciated that.
Was it also like the cowboy hats, or...?
I don't remember. Shoot, boots.
Boots, yes. The cowboy style?
No, work boots.
Oh, work boots, yeah. Do you also sell like gloves to them, or
yes.
Other work?
Yes, but they weren't a big thing. And the cowboy boots did sell, but that was for when they knew they were going back. They're more for dress.
So do they buy a lot of gifts?
No.
No.
It was 90% use at the workplace. They had no way of getting the gifts back to wherever they were going, and they didn't go back very often.
Did your father or grandfather ever talk about what the Brassaros did, like on their days off?
All the time. It was part of our life. And my mother, who was the bookkeeper.
Oh, okay. So what were some of the things that Brassaros did on the...
Well, I have mostly information from the retail sector, from what went on there. There were index cards that were kept with the balance, how much each person owed. If they got a check cash, they were required to make a payment. So they had a history that way of it. And the cards were kept by farms. So it was mostly from that aspect. My dad became friends with many of them.
Oh, really?
Yes. Friends. My dad's Latin American. So he clicked right in with that.
Do you by chance remember any of the names of the farms that you went to?
Yamaguchi and Yamamoto, I remember, because they were always getting was confused. My mind is not working. I used to know all of them. Adler was the one that was the Jewish guy, and his was right in Chula Vista. Kawasaki, did I say that one?
No, it was, Yamamoto,
Kawasaki. I don't remember a lot of them. It's been a long time. All Japanese?
Oh, that's interesting.
And my dad did learn to speak. My dad's one of those language people. He did learn to speak some Japanese because he felt that if he had a better relationship with the farm owners, that he would have a stronger foothold with the employees.
That makes sense. And your grandfather was fluent in Spanish? Or?
Yes. My grandfather left early on. My dad took over. They probably only overlapped about 6 months.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. My grandfather, I have no idea how he conducted business. But my father had a panel van, and he would drive it. He did it his own way.
That was another one of my questions. Is that, did he have a truck or a van? Or?
Yeah, and he actually, it was an international truck. It was the first year they made him. And he had a door put in on the other side, so he had two doors. And he wouldn't unload. He would open all the doors, and it was the store.
Oh, so it was actually like a...
They shopped around, like the food trucks.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I was kind of picturing just drove his, like, say, Cadillac or something, opened up the
yeah, no, it was fully, it was retail. It was set up retail. He had prices on everything. He had merchandise in the back that was the same as what was in the front. Kind of self-service. I want one of these. And my dad had spent a lot of time in Venezuela as a kid, so he right away became the Guero. He still is Guero.
Guero?
Gretel, uh-huh. and he still has a retail store. And he still sells to some of the old folks.
Right, loyal customers.
And when they come in, it's like relatives.
What is the name of the store?
El Progreso. It's E-L, second word, P-R-O, G-R-E-S-O. And that's in San Ysidro, which is right at the border.
Is it right by the Kmart?
I don't know where Kmart is.
Oh, there's a huge Kmart right before you go across the border.
This is at the last trolley stop. No. Oh, right next to Long's Drugstore, a 99-cent store.
Oh, okay.
It's one of the older malls. When it was the only mall.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he opened that, what year did he open the store?
He had a store in another location, which was more like the truck, but a store where you didn't go into it. Probably right after the Bracero program was ended. He freaked out because he didn't know what he would do because there was his customer base. But most of them stayed.
Oh, okay.
And it was illegal, so to speak, but they had already established themselves here. And the farms were still there. And the farm still needed labor. And there were no gringos who wanted to go pick tomatoes for 12 hours a day.
Forgive me if I already asked you this question. Did any of the Barceros end up working for your father?
Yes. Yes. As a matter of fact, one of the guys just retired last year. He was with me my whole life. It was like my uncle.
And his name?
Arturo. And relatives of his, and, you know, it goes out, friends. And they were illegals at that time, but it was not a derogatory thing.
Right.
And the government was not prosecuting them, or they were not looked down upon by other Mexicans who were here legally, so to speak.
Were there any incidents of them not paying?
Sure, there's always some.
Were there any other major problems with the Braceros?
Not with the Braceros. Competitors. Like, this is my farm. And other people would come in. It's just typical retail nonsense. That was probably the major problem. I can't think of any others.
Were you aware of any Braceros ever staging a strike or labor protest in the area?
Never. Absolutely never.
How did the Bracero program affect your business of undocumented workers?
That was the business. That was how the undocumented workers came. We're here already. That was, you know, the genesis of it was the Bracero program ended. Who am I going to sell to? What am I going to do for work? So it just evolved. He maintained the same customer base, check cashing, credit, same thing.
What is your opinion of the Bracero work performance?
Excellent. I find Mexicans who come up here to support their families to be the best and most devoted workers, the hardest workers, because they've come to work. They're not in a place where they were already and they went applying for jobs. They are separated from their families, which is a hardship. They don't see their kids. And I respect them and the so-called illegal aliens more than any other work group.
So how would you compare their work to those of American or Mexican-American farmhands?
I don't even know any farmhands that are not, legal farmhands. legal. If you're legal, you don't work on farms. You work as a gardener or some other lowly job.
Right.
The work of the illegals who were hired after the program by people like my dad were the best. They were looked for by my dad. And when I was in retail, I looked for them and I hired them, even though at that time it was more of a risk.
Did you notice any animosity between Macedos and farm or ranch employees?
Very, very, very. The ranch employees didn't. They were in a different cluster. They didn't have. They had their own groups. There were no Americans working picking tomatoes, and they were told what to do and were very compliant because they wanted to work. And I can't think of any stories except maybe a few fights. Or a lazy guy, or a drunk guy, who was, a drunk guy who got sent home, or was causing fights. It was extremely rare.
Do you know if there was any, inner conflict in the compound?
Very little. The compound seemed to be groups of relatives, friends of relatives. They were already connected.
Okay. From, the same town or hometown?
Exactly. And so the conflicts were almost non-existent, or they were very low level.
What do you think were some of the advantages and disadvantages of the Pacero program?
The advantage was they were able to provide labor that was not available prior to the program, and work hard to allow these tomatoes, I think they were always tomatoes, to be produced and put out in a timely manner. They spent money, as in my dad's case, enough to make us have a mansion almost. This must have been generalized into other groups who interacted with them. The farms all closed after the Bracero program, a number of years after. They dropped off little by little. Where are you going to get the people?
What do you think are some of the factors that contribute to the Bracero program ending?
The government is stupid.
Yeah, my job was so bad.
I think there might have been public outcry. There was a lot of racism. And so the government, the big government responding to local governmental agencies, probably shut the program down because they thought it would increase the work availability for Americans, that they were stealing jobs, which is still what they're saying. And it's complete nonsense.
So do you think they should the Bracero program be reinstated?
Absolutely. 100%.
And what changes should be initiated?
They should have health care. They should have the same available. They should have everything available to them that we as employees do. The farms are large enough to provide. They don't fall into the little amount. If you have a smaller amount of employees, you don't have to provide certain things. They have large enough groups that they legally would have to provide health care, insurance, all these other programs. And I think they should pay taxes, and they should be in the system.
Yeah, I agree. That's...
And they should be paid minimum wage. If that is not, they should not get their wages, they should not be hired because they can be paid less. Minimum wage should apply, and they should be allowed to be in other arenas. If they excel, and they can read and write, and they're smart, and they speak English, they should be able to be in a managerial position, not just as a laborer.
That's really good on the feedback.
They should be able to bring their families here.
It's a bit of a So, you found also sold food? Or was it just
no.
Clothing electronics? Okay.
No food at all. He might have provided things that they needed to cook the food because of their kitchen, frying pans, that sort of thing. Well, I have another a comment about a big problem that I saw as a big problem, but it was the way that my father's business really took off, that they were paid by check.
Oh, right.
And they had no bank account, and you couldn't open a bank account. And I don't know how they handled it. I guess maybe they went back to the farm, and they would cash the checks for them and take a big chunk out. My dad charged 2%. If you made a payment, you got charged 1%. And my dad does it to this day. He has the same system for people who are coming up from Mexico, illegals. I hate to say illegals. He still has that program because they tend to be the most dependable in paying, and he has the least amount of liability in providing them credit.
It's more of the inner management structure.
They can't get credit anywhere else. They can't go to any bank and get a credit card, for instance.
Exactly. Who's going to give them credit?
Right.
Did they ask for any special items for around the holidays?
I can't really answer that question because I don't know. I really don't know. Because I was a kid, I didn't pay attention to that. I know that they sent money back, a lot of money back to Mexico, to their families.
Did your father assist in that? Or?
Only by allowing them to cash their checks so that they had the cash. And that's a problem. That to me would be a bonus of having the Bracero program now with the families here. It would keep the funds in this country and provide more of a flow of cash.
Exactly. Exactly. And extended workforce.
Right, and you know, instead, they would be buying big ticket items, but you live here, you buy a refrigerator, and if they pay taxes, it would be a boon to the economy, not a drain.
Exactly. Exactly.
They sent their money home, the majority of their money home.
Right.
To their families. Eventually, the family would have enough money to come up here. But then you had this whole group of illegals up here. So when the program ended,
exactly.
These people were, you know, what do? Go back from whence they came or continue here? And they continued here.
Well, I don't think I have any more questions. I thank you for your time.
Right, welcome. Very, very neat to remember this program.
Oh, yes. And no, really, thank you for your feedback. It's very important. I conclude my interview.